a whole that comes to them to obtain those goals than people who don't have any goals in life. If your only goal is just to get through another day, you know, just, you know, like the bumper sticker, I owe, it's off to work I go. There should be a higher goal than just eating and sleeping and working and watching television. Amen. There's got to be more to life than this. Now, I'm not endorsing a book or an author or because there's some things in the book. I just don't want to go there right now. But purpose-driven is not a bad term because it means you are goal-oriented. Everyone in here needs to have a goal as a Christian. And the goal should be what God has set for you to attain. That should be your goal, to obtain what God has set for you to obtain. Amen? That's what you should be running for in life. And it's not just to get to heaven. Amen? Heaven is not the grand goal of our life. Amen? Heaven is actually, there's so much that God is counting on us now. Yeah, opportunities to fulfill these grand goals that I'm going to talk about this morning is mainly something God wants to do in the here and now, not in the hereafter. Amen? So it's real important that everyone that is a Christian, everybody that is truly born again, my dog must have a goal because she's truly must have been saved since she's come to live with us, because the Bible said if you eat any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. I just thought I'd tell you that. Amen. Because God certainly delivered my dog. By the way, if God will answer a simple prayer to deliver a dog, God will deliver you and me sitting in this room today. I believe God is going to restore the healing, anointing, and the deliverance to God's people. I believe it with all of my heart. Amen. I know that He will. We prayed for sick birds that were about to die and seen God raise them up. We prayed for animals and like the dog and saw God work with not even a symptom. Amen. It's time God's people begin to claim the covenants. You're worth more than many sparrows. I know you're worth more than birds and dogs. Can you say amen? Just thought I'd run that by you. Amen. So I want us to get goal-oriented this year. If you get goal-oriented, if you have something you want to achieve in your spiritual life, I'm not just talking about get your bills paid and get your body healed so that you can go on with that goalless life. People with goals are energized. One African runner in the Olympics used to get up every morning at daylight, amen, and he would run up this mountain. He would run up the mountain. Every day, whether he felt like it, whether he didn't feel like it, he got up and he ran up that mountain. You know what energized him to do that? Most of us can't hardly drive to work, let alone run up a mountain. Can you say amen? But he had a goal. What was his goal? To win the Olympics. And he was energized. And one African who had practiced so hard actually fell and during a race at the Olympics, I forget his name, but I was reading about it, and he was actually bloodied from the fall and bruised from the fall, and he had a strained ankle, and he was hobbled by the fall. And he continued to run the race. This was one of these long races. He continued to run it. In fact, everybody but him had crossed the finish line, and people were leaving the Olympic Stadium. But there was there must have been thousands in that stadium, because the article said that 7,000 people out of the maybe 20 or 30,000 in the stadium stayed to watch this one man hobble to the end of the race. And he hobbled all the way to the end of the race. And when he got to the end of the race, a journalist actually walked up to him. And he was grimacing in pain and said, there's no way you could win the race. There's no way that you could possibly do anything but come in last. Why put yourself through the pain of finishing? He said, because my country that I represent, I think Kenya or one of the provinces in Africa, he said, my country sent me 7,000 miles to enter this race. He said, whether I win it or not, I was bound and determined to finish it. Can you say amen? To finish it, to finish it, to finish it. If I was going to preach on running the race of life this morning, it's all about finishing it. It's not about who runs the fastest. Amen. It's about finishing it. Praise God. And we want to finish our course, as Paul said. But these two goals, when you're goal-oriented, it drives you. There's a drive. There's an energy. And many Christians haven't found their purpose. I just go to church, give in the offering, go home and deal with my family issues. And then I go to work and it takes everything I got to get through that. And then I get a little rest so I can get up and start the whole process all over again. You don't get spiritual energy from that. There has to be something that takes place in your Christian life that energizes you, that makes you glad to get up in the morning, where you get up and stay, instead of saying, good Lord, morning, you get up and say, good morning, Lord. Amen. And life takes on a different, everybody that, they. The Bible said that they that run in a race, the world does it for corruptible things, for a corruptible crown. Everything that the world is energized to go after today is going to pass away. But we do it for spiritual purposes. We do it for the eternal blessings of the kingdom of God. There's a vast difference in why the world is energized and why we should be energized today. Amen? I believe getting these two grand goals back is the key to real revival as well. So, would you like to know these two simple principles that will energize your life today? It's what's energizing me right now. To know God and to make Him known. I want you to say that with me. To know God and to make Him known. I want you to say that with me again. To know God. Now, I'm not asking about knowing Him as your Savior. I'm talking about knowing whom you have believed. I'm talking about knowing Him. The average Christian knows who they have believed in, but knowing Him is different. I know who the President of the United States is. Do you know the President of the United States? I know Him by sight. I know Him by sound. I know Him by his office. Amen. But I don't, I'll tell you who really knows Him. Mrs. George Bush knows Him. Amen. She can say, I know Him. My wife knows me. You know me. Do you know Brother Venable? Yeah, I know him. I attend his church. I've been there for years. Yeah, but she knows me. You know me, but not on the level that she knows me. Can you say amen? So, if someone were to ask you, do you know Jesus and you're a Christian? Yes, I know Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is the only one who can truly help you to know Jesus Christ. And it's progressive. I've been seeking the knowledge of Him all of these years, and I believe I know Him better now than I knew Him at the beginning. And I know Him better this year than I did last year. And I'm still finding out more and more about Him, and everything that I'm finding through the Word and through personal fellowship with Him that the Holy Spirit reveals to me, it excites my soul. I am driven to know more about Jesus. I love the song that says, tell me more about Jesus. More of His mercy, more of His grace, more of His love my soul can trace. Tell me more about Jesus. I believe if there's a hook in our broadcast to hook people to listen to it, it's because it is not the Holy Church of God broadcast. It's not Robert A. Venable Ministries presents Robert A. Venable teaching theology. Can you say amen? No, this is Let's Talk About Jesus. To know Him. And secondly, I want to make Him known. I want other people to know Him. And I want them to not get a misconception. I want them to truly know what He's like, His love, His grace, His mercy, His kindness, His tenderness, His holiness, His purity. I want them to know Him. Can you say amen? If you have it in your... Listen, there's nothing that excites the... I just wrote some stuff down last night. I'm just, as the Holy Spirit began to quicken. Listen, I get excited about God. But when I really get excited is to know that God's getting excited about me. Amen. God could get excited over this church this coming year. Amen. If we set it in our heart to know God and make Him known, yes. Amen, we're going to have a cup that overflows in every single service. In our life, we're going to have an overflowing cup experience. Amen. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup what? Runs over. Honey, you never really become a real witness to others until your cup is running over. Amen. Amen. But when it starts running over, spilling over the top, that's when others notice that this person is revived, this person is turned on, this person is energized. Amen? Amen? People that are goal-oriented practice disciplines that other people would never dream of. Amen? A boxer that wants to become a champion, a world champion, he's going to run every day to build his stamina. He's going to do what's necessary. But even in the old Rocky movies, when someone gets used to it and begins to take it all for granted and does it, somebody else is coming along with, I like the song, The Eye of the Tiger. Amen. Somebody's coming along hungry for victory. And I'm going to tell you who's going to win finally in the ring. It's not the one that has the most skills after a while. It's the one who is the hungriest for victory. Can you say that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to get highly motivated and hungry for victory in the Lord? Amen. And it begins with knowing Him. Not just getting power in our life, but knowing the person who wants to be so intimate and personal in our life. Amen. They that know Him will be strong and do exploits. There's when power is released. Can you say amen? That's the basis for the release of the power that we've been equipped with, is the knowledge of Him and to make Him known. We receive this power to be witnesses unto Him in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. This spiritual energy is to know Him and to make Him known. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost that you might know Him and make Him known. Spirit was given that we might know Him and make Him known. So listen to that. Someone's aptly stated the danger in the Christian life is not that we will aim too high and miss. It's that we'll aim too low and hit it dead on. When we settle for spiritual mediocrity and lukewarmness instead of fervently seeking and serving God, when we're satisfied with the practice of our religion without the pursuit of fellowship with Christ, when all our time and energy is focused on our material, physical, and emotional needs at the expense of the mandate from God to go and to win others to Jesus Christ, our aim is too low. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, it's not the devil that holds back revival. He cannot do that. He can't do it. It's impossible for the devil to stop God from giving favor and blessing where he chooses. He just can't do it. I'm going to tell you something else that can't do it. Not only is Satan can't stop it, sin can't stop it. You say, well, the world's worse now. It's so sinful. Where sin doth abound, what happens to God's grace? His grace rises to the occasion, doesn't it? Where sin doth abound, God says, I don't back off when it really gets bad down there. I take a giant step forward. I'm ready to move and confront the sinfulness of man with my grace and my power to deliver, convict, and set free. Hallelujah. My grace much more abounds. That means there's more grace given for a sinful generation than one that isn't so sinful. That means God stands ready to save and deliver today. Hallelujah. This very day, in our nation, in our children, in our land, in our lives, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, who can hold the thing back? People that have no spiritual goal. We just go to church. We remain unchanged. We don't practice any disciplines. We know we're supposed to read, but we don't have a goal. So, amen, why bother reading if you don't have a goal? I remember when my goal was to get a T-shirt. Yeah, when we'd go to St. Augustine, there was a gym up there, and if the owner of the gym came out and saw you clean 300-pound bench press, then you got a T-shirt from the gym, you know, talking about bench pressing, and it's kind of nice for an old guy in his 50s to get a T-shirt that said, I benched 300 pounds at so-and-so gym, you know. And, you know, big guys, it's nothing, you know. They bench 400 or 500 pounds, these football players and linemen and all these power lifters. But for a little skinny preacher to go in there and bench it, amen, that was a nice T-shirt to get. I didn't get the T-shirt, and it didn't happen at that gym. But I was kind of goal-oriented. I remember going home, getting my wife and my grandchildren and my son to come back there where I don't have them anymore, but I had a weight. But you remember coming back, and I was 290, but I was goal-oriented. I was goal-oriented. I was eating tuna fish and chicken breast and pumping iron. Amen. And I remember when I finally went in Miss May's gym, Amen. That you went there for a while. I remember going there at one day, and I was feeling really good that day, and a guy came over to spot me, and I said, you know something? I'm going to go for it today. And he said, well, if you're going for it, said, don't go for 300. Said, let's just put three bells on each side, 45-pound bar, three 45-pound bells on each side. It looked so big. I mean, you know, when you pick it up and it kind of goes wall like that because of the weight on the end of it. So I cleaned it off the rack and I've got it and I said, oh my goodness, just 315. So he said, no, don't go for 300. Go beyond that. Try to reach beyond that. Well, I was goal-oriented. Amen. I wanted to show off. Amen. So I cleaned it out of the rack, and it felt like I had a Buick in my hands or something. It was just one of those good days when all of that, you know, trying, and I'd get them to come in the back room, you know, and I was get 290 cleaned, and they were afraid I would miss it, and if I did, it'd lay on me, and what's my grandchildren, wife going to do with 290 pounds? I just told them how to take the weights off. I just lay it on me and just start pulling them off as quick as you can. They never had to pull them off, but here's this little preacher benching 315. I'm getting a little ego trip right now just thinking about it, amen. That was in a galaxy far, far away in a time long, long ago, amen. But God, you know, I cleaned 315. 15, set it back in the rack. And you know what they wanted me to do? Oh, now that you've broke 300, now you've broken that psychological barrier. And see, these people that are eat up with it, that there's no enough is never enough. They're always going for more. But let me tell you something about those guys. Amen. With all the egotism and the craziness of it all, they are goal-oriented. They are highly motivated. Can you say amen? They get off from a long day's work, and what's the first thing they do? Either before they go to work or when they get off, what are they going to not miss? They don't want to lose that edge. They hit the gym. They hit the gym. They hit the gym. They hit the gym. Amen. Listen to me. If there's kind of a spiritual gym that God would like to enroll us in this morning, to where we could get goal-oriented and get some disciplines in our lives so God could build something in us that He's wanting to build and accomplish. He wants us to know Him. When you hear the Scriptures, it's just not a book of do's and don'ts and behavior adjustments. This is a book that brings you into a personal intimacy with God, where you as an individual become to know Him. To know Him will bring you into a love relationship with Him. To know Him. If you're singing a love song about Jesus and you really don't know Him by spiritual revelation and personal experience, you're singing about something you don't know anything about. Amen. That you don't truly get. And as sentimental feeling as you get while you sing it, you're not going to walk out of here and be strengthened by that knowledge and do exploits, because not only will you know Him, love Him if you know Him, you will trust Him if you know Him. So they that know their God will be strengthened and they will do exploits. Can you say amen? The book of Acts is about people that know God. And they were strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And they did exploits. Because it's the acts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I agree with that. But it's the acts of the Holy Spirit as He moved within Christians like you and Christians like me. Can you say amen? Can you imagine doing exploits? Because you have come to know the Lord, because you have practiced some disciplines. Amen. Everybody needs a quiet time. Everybody needs a place of intimacy. Everybody needs a time of prayer. Not just prayer to get things from God, but prayer to establish a relationship and a communication with God. I love the Dottie Rambo song, I didn't come here to ask you for anything. I just came to talk with you, Lord, to get to know you. To have intercourse, to have interchange, to get to know you, Lord. Amen? The average Christian is not trying to get to know God better, not trying to be intimate with Him. And that's why we doubt His love sometimes, and we don't trust Him enough to stand on His word, because we don't know whom we have believed. We know who we believed upon, but we don't know the one that we have believed upon. In the kind of intimate personal knowledge God wants us to know it. Amen? So we're not driven by a purpose. Oh, man. Have you seen, my beloved? I love the Song of Solomon. It is not a little love story that was just threw in the Bible for no apparent reason and no relevance to the church of Jesus Christ. It is a love story that is intense between a man and a woman who are so attracted to one another, they can't stand to be without each other. They want to be in each other's presence all of the time. And if that were just a man-woman thing that God wanted us to know about, then Paul, when he was teaching, amen, about really knowing God and walking with God and serving God and becoming that church without spot and without blemish, he begins by talking about male-female relationships when real love comes into play and when they are so attracted to one another that the wife reveres her husband and the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church with self-sacrificing, selfless love. And then he says, behold, right in the middle of all this intimacy and all of this romance, you know what does he say? Behold, I'm going to show you a mystery. I'm not just speaking about male-female relationships. I'm not a Holy Ghost-filled Dr. Phil or a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Ophrah here. He says, I show you a mystery. I'm talking about Christ and His Hallelujah. Church. So evidently there's more to knowing the Lord than just going to church and obeying the rules. There's a person who wants to be intimate and up close with you and with me. And it should be our passion of life to know Him. Because you'll find Him when what? When you seek Him, not just for your needs, but seek Him for Him with all of your heart. I love this story. He said there's a banner. He brought me to his banqueting table. I'm my beloved's and he's mine. He brought me. That's not just a song. That's the Song of Solomon. He brought me to his banqueting table and his banner over me is love. So when they're separated, the prospective bride longs for this person that she loves so devotedly and says, daughters of Jerusalem, have you seen my beloved? And they said, no, we haven't. Oh, well, I'm going back to the house and play Scrabble. No, that's not what she said. Can you say, man, I'm going to go back to the house and do crosswords. I'm going to go back to the house and watch soap operas. I'm going to go back to the house and watch Oprah. I'm going to go watch CNN and see what's happening. No, have you seen my beloved? Everything focused on one thing. Everything else was pushed aside. Have you seen my beloved? No, we haven't. And she went a little further. She continued her pursuit of God. Listen to me. Amen. Listen to this. If this is Christ in the church, then we should be pursuing Him who already has pursued us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Have you seen my beloved? And she asked the watchman on the wall, watchman, you watch over the city. Have you seen someone go out, come in? Have you seen my beloved? They said, we haven't seen Him at all. And she went a little further. See, it's that continuing to seek with the whole heart that brings the realization and revelation. Why? Is God hiding and playing hide and seek and He's going to make it hard for you to find Him? No. He knows your heart and my heart and mind and life become so cluttered. If we don't make this the supreme issue of our life, we will never find Him. Can you say amen? So he says, you've got to put your whole heart in it to get past all the clutter, responsibilities, distractions, discouragements, disruptions, and say, this day, I'm going to make it my personal quest to know Him. Somewhere in this day, time is going to be cut out for Him and Him alone. I'm going to read my Bible with my focus on Him, not just a scripture to get a need met, but Him whom my soul loveth. Can you say amen? By the way, when you find the healer, you can get your healing. Hello? Hello? We should seek the healer to get healed, not just seek healing. That's why we shouldn't ever be known as faith healers, because it implies that I've got faith to get you healed, so my faith is healing you. No, we should bring people to Jesus Christ for healing. Anointed them with oil and make sure that the focus is on Him. If there's any sick among you, let them call the elders full of faith so they can use their faith to get you healed. No, let them call the elders. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the great evangelist with the gift. No, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Bring them to the healer for healing. Can you say amen? But the prayer of faith will save the sick, because why? The Lord, who is the healer, the great physician, will raise them up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want people to know Him. I want to know Him, and I want to make Him known. To know Christ and to make Him known should be the great consuming passion of the Christian life. The Bible said the world can practice these disciplines and devotions for the temporal. Why can't the church do it for the eternal and the spiritual? Can you say amen? If you decide this year to seek to know Him more perfectly and intimately and share Him more effectively, I believe you will experience, and I will experience, a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. And that our church will experience both the wind and fire. Everybody, God just dropped this in my heart last night. Everybody say wind and fire. As we purpose in our hearts to win others to Jesus Christ, there's going to be no shortage of anointing flowing in this place and in our lives. No shortage at all. God's going to pour it on us. Can you say amen? Why? Because now He can, as He pours it on us, He's going to be able to pour it through us. Can you say amen? And I'm not talking about the present winds of opposition or fires of persecution, but the mighty wind of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Ghost. This may be truly the year of the favor of the Lord. And it's a simple formula: to know God and to show Him to others. Can you say amen? That should be the goal. To know Him. Amen. It's where rest comes for your soul. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they be they that testify of me. Can you say amen? We're not just seeking salvation through the Word, but the Savior. If you don't move in this area of life, no matter what is preached, no matter how God comes down and love comes down and all these blessings that are poured on us, your life will remain mediocre. Your life will remain lethargic spiritually. Amen. It'll be a job just to go to church, just like your job is to go to work. Oh, it's Sunday. I got to get my hair done. I got to get ready. I got to get out there and get there on time. You're coming because you know you're going to meet with God. You're energized. You wouldn't want to miss this for anything. Praise God. Amen. When I see how far I walked to just be with Pamela, whom my soul loveth, when I was a teenager, when I would take the bus to her house instead of my house, who's in the other direction. She's on the other side of Brandon. I'm at 579 and Highway 92. There was no interstate yet. So I am miles and miles and miles and miles. I know, because I walked those miles. And I walked it several times a week because I was highly motivated. Amen? So I took her bus home to be with her as long as I could, and then I began walking from the other side of Brandon up toward Valrico, all the way down Highway 60, amen, to Parsons Avenue, and all the way down Parsons Avenue to 574, and 574 all the way down to 579, and 579. I haven't driven a car and seen. Sometimes I'd cut through an orange grove. I'd go down Taylor Road and cut through an orange grove, and it'd be dark. And I've walked all these miles. And I'm not saying, oh man, going out with Pamela, what a drag. I don't know how much more of this I can stand. I'm up for it. I'm ready. I want to go home with her tomorrow and walk back again. Love is strange. It makes you do strange things, goofy things. Amen. But it's rewarding. It's fulfilling. Why would you do that? Because it wasn't puppy love. I fell in love. We're getting ready to celebrate 45 years of marriage. Amen. I don't know if I could walk that far. But now maybe I could, you know, ride the bus home and hitch a ride. When you love the Lord, you pursue Him. But you've got to begin to get to know Him to keep that love burning. Amen. A.W. Tozer wrote a book called In Pursuit of God. And I thought, the average Christian knows very little. We know a lot about practicing our religion and going to church, our responsibility spiritually of giving and living, but we don't know a lot about God. We don't pursue that knowledge. You will find me when you seek after, not because he's hiding, but because life clutters, life clouds, all the things in life, other things entering in choke the word. If it chokes the word, it will cloud our vision. Amen. This could be the year of the favor of the Lord. Because if you want to know God, I'm going to tell you something. God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Bible called Jesus the express image of God. Amen. The exact replica. What God would be if he were a man, Jesus was God incarnate. God in flesh. God says, I want you to know me. He wanted to reveal himself to Moses, but he couldn't. He said, if you look me dead on, the glory from my presence would just burn your eyes out. But I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock, and I will pass by you quickly, and I will allow you to glimpse my hinder parts as I go by. But he wanted to reveal himself. He didn't say, I'm beyond knowing. He said, you can't take it. But in the new covenant, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Because, and what did we see? Did people see this glowing light that could burn your eyes out about Jesus? No, what they saw was, they saw the character of God that caused that glory to shine. Come on, they saw the character of God in a way that we could perceive and understand him. I said the character of God himself. Amen. God is a person. He's not just a force in the universe. He has a character and a nature. And Jesus said, when you've seen my character and nature, you've seen the invisible, holy, mighty, matchless, infinite God's character. And what did he do? He went about doing good. Everybody knows what Jesus would do. We don't have to ask ourselves, what would he do, except in terms of, are we going to follow him? But we all know what he would do because we all know what he's like. Well, he said, you've seen the Father. You've seen the character, the holy love, the kindness, the goodness, the purity, the power. You've seen what causes that glory to shine. In fact, amen, it's the character that causes the glory to shine. Amen, it's the goodness. Simple word that's so profound when it's related to God. God is good. God is good. God is good. I'd fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Can you say amen? God is love. God is good. To know Christ. Philippians 3:10. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. But the statement starts, the foundation for all the rest is that I may know him. Wait a minute. Paul has seen a light brighter than the noonday sun, heard the audible voice of Christ speak to him, but he said, I want to know him. Paul is a Christian, born again, but he says, I want to know him. Paul has a gifted ministry, wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He said, I want to know him. Paul was caught up into third heaven and saw the holy city. But he said, I want to know him. Amen? That's what happened to Pentecost. We got power centered. And we quit pursuing the person. And we lost the first love, got drunk on the power of God, and didn't know much about the person of God. Our theology got wrecked. People followed for the power trip and never got hooked up to the person. They shouted on Sunday and backslid on Tuesday. Ran and danced. And marriages fell apart anyway. Spoke in tongues because of the power, but without the love that comes through intimacy and fellowship. Amen. It became sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Noise without any kind of fruit that backed up the fact that having the Spirit amen, made us more powerful, more anointed, more effective than other people. Christian leadership began to fail and fall apart because we pursued power instead of the person. Have you seen him in the Song of Solomon, whom my soul loveth? She actually said, I'm sick with love. You know what that means? Every moment I'm apart from him, I feel empty and I feel unfulfilled. And nothing has any happiness in it until we're together. When we're together, everything is fulfilling. She said, I went a little further and found my beloved, whom my soul loves. And I took him to my mother's house. Hallelujah. In other words, I brought him. Amen. He brought me to his banqueting table. I'm taking him home with me. I want to spend every minute with him. The church should be anticipating the soon coming of Jesus Christ. As she was anticipating, amen, that united. We should be looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. The things of this earth should be growing strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Can you say amen? We got a worldly gospel out there that is absolutely committed to the things, the tangible things that are going to pass away. And it's not in pursuit of God for himself. It's pursuit of God for what I want and my felt need and my physical need. God knows what you have need of. He says, don't even think about it. Take you no thought for your life, what you shall eat, drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. Your Father knows what you need physically, materially. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He'll take care of all this stuff. Don't be like the Gentiles that don't know God and don't want to know him. Can you say amen? They want his gifts, they want his blessing, but they don't want him. In pursuit of God. How many people, how many preachers are in pursuit of God? We're in pursuit of successful churches, and some of the most successful churches in the land have brought some of the biggest failures in the leadership. The very biggest mega churches are now experiencing trouble with the leadership because they were motivated to build a big church for vain glory instead of just to know God and to share him with others. It gets real simple when you just want to know God and show him to other people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You don't need all the trappings. You don't need all the allocates. You don't need all the applause. You don't need all the stuff. Because all you want to do in life, your passion in life, is to know him and to show him to others. And the Holy Ghost gets excited when that is our heart song. Did anybody see the little movie about the penguins? That's it. Happy Feet. I knew you were a man of intelligence and culture. And I knew you would have the answer. Amen. Happy Feet. You know, it's a cartoon, but it's a cartoon based, not thinly, but actually, in the emperor penguin. They all look alike. If you see 10,000 of them gathered together, amen, there is no distinguishing marks. They all look alike. They look like little deformed ducks with tuxedos on. Can you say amen? They really do. Amen. They're weird-looking little critters. If you go to SeaWorld and look at the penguins, look at them. There might be a bigger one and a smaller one, but basically, they all look alike. Can you say amen? Well, and the females go off to hunt while the dads stay with the eggs, you know? I told you they were crazy things. But anyway, they go off and do that, and the dad stays with the egg. And then all these bunch of females that all look alike, amen, you can't tell Brittany from whoever, amen, they all come back, and they all come back, and you can't look and tell. And there's no smell to distinguish, some kind of animal instinct. So how do they know? Amen. When they're gonna mate, every penguin has a heart song, a song that they sing, a mating song. And once that song is imprinted on the mind of their mate, out of 10,000 other ones, they can pick that one out. That's incredible. You know what the heart song of the church should be? To know him. Oh, that I might know him. Can you say, if that's your heart song, the Holy Ghost will never, ever quit revealing more and more and more about Jesus to you. Every church service is going to become electrified and exciting because you say, in that service, something is going to drop into my heart. God is going to send His Spirit. As I read my Bible, something's going to jump out at me, and it's going to be about Him whom my soul loveth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And when we get to know Him, they that know Him will be strong and they will do exploits. Can you say amen? Because we will love Him and be strengthened by Him. When you go to get gifts, when you go to get the benefits and blessings of covenants and not go to know Him, Israel saw and knew His wonders. They saw the Red Sea part, but they doubted Him and wanted to go back to Egypt after seeing the miraculous power of God, because they knew nothing of the person who parted that sea. They, the Bible said in the Old Testament, saw His wonders. They knew Him in terms of the power that came from Him. But Moses knew His ways. Moses knew Him intimately and more personally than they knew Him. And Moses didn't waver when all Israel wanted to go back. Preacher needs to know more than theology from the book. They need to know the Lord. I was in a full gospel businessman meeting, and I heard the testimony of a prominent pastor who pastored a church. He was sharing that day. He pastored a church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the church was running several thousand people. He had went through a seminary in that denomination. He had got a degree in Doctor of Divinity, Doctor of Theology. He came out all with all of these degrees, and he decided this was his vocation. He didn't talk about callings, anointings. He talked about a vocation. He went to that Bible college. He got his degree. He became a professional preacher. He even had altar calls, and people came and answered that call as he preached from an outline that he had learned, homiletics and hermeneutics and the expounding of theology in college. He's been in ministry for over 8 years, and he comes into a full gospel businessmen's meeting, and he hears the testimony of a fighter pilot by the name of Colonel Bottomley, and there's even a movie we showed at church out 16 millimeter years ago on the old reel-to-reel, and it said, The Conversion of Colonel Bottomley. He heard this Air Force colonel talk about how self-confident and independent he was, and how finally he came under conviction, and under that great conviction, he came to know Christ as his personal Savior. Not to just get saved, amen, by a biblical formula, but to come into the confrontation and the personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it changed his whole life and demeanor and attitude. And the preacher sat back there, tears running down his cheeks, with a successful church and a degree in theology. And guess who was the first one to the altar call? That preacher. Thank God. He said, I really can't say that I know Christ. But that day, that all changed. Amen? And to know Him is to love Him. And to know Him is to trust Him. Praise God. They that do know their Lord will be strong, and they will do exploits. All those boys in the book of Acts knew their God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the Acts of the Apostles are not just because they were anointed, but because they had a revelation who He was. Listen to me. This is important. Let me read it from the Amplified. It really expounds on all the Greek connotations and meanings. For my determined purpose is, do you see that pursuit? For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection. But first He says, I want to know more about Him. In fact, He said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ First him, and then what he's done for us on the cross and him crucified. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain, the writer said. It's no more I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Not only has he come to know him, but now he's showing him to the world. Hallelujah. Paul's passionate desire to know the Lord caused him to seek him with ardent love and singular purpose, that I may know him, was Paul's constant heart cry. It was his heart song. Amen. God wants us to know him. I've been preaching on radio about the blessings of the new covenant. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Amen. The new covenant is what he said. The new covenant. This that you're practicing every communion Sunday is the new covenant in my blood. He fulfilled an ancient prophecy that told about a new covenant that would come in Israel. Jesus came to fulfill that prophecy. Let me read that new covenant to you. Jeremiah 9:20. Let's back up. I'm going to read first Jeremiah 9. And first I want to make a statement. God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. The just has suffered for the unjust that he might what? Bring us to God. Well, what's the point of coming to God if you're not going to get to know him? If you're not going to go behind the veil, why did he rip it in two? If all he is a dispenser of blessings and material needs, then why do we need to know him at all? There are people that don't know nor care if I'm alive. Well, they care if I'm dead because they think they might get something. But, amen, they don't care if I'm hurting. They don't care if I'm sick. They don't care if I'm having a bad day. They just don't care about my life, me. But if they have a need, they will show up. Isn't that incredible? Suddenly, I am important if it involves something they need. But as long as they don't have a need, you know, sometimes if my phone don't ring, I say, no news is good news. Because no one's going to call to say, how are you in this particular situation? The only reason they would call, if they say, how are you? I just want to, I'm not that way. I mean, I'm not, you know, cold-hearted and blatant and you know. But inside me, you know, the flesh wants to say, let's cut to the chase. What do you want? Now let's drop all the niceties that are impersonal and not really real. Just tell me what you need. What do you want? Because I know you didn't call me for me or to find out how I'm doing. I wouldn't hear from you unless you needed something from me, whether it be emotional support, financial, something. Borrow something. Get something. So we got a whole church world out there with the attitude, my name's Jimmy, I want all you give me. There's no pursuit of God. And we're getting a shallow Christianity. It's becoming earthbound. We're not longing for his return. We barely even talk about it anymore. We're having it so good here, whether he comes back next year or not, or next month, or next decade. Hey, listen, I'm living the life of luxury. Amen. So why should I need, and it's a lie. America has bowed to a material God. It's bled over into the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've quit pursuing God for who he is, and we are in a most precarious. Listen, this little shot that the president wants to give the economy, to give us a little bit of money to spend, amen. By the way, I am a consumer. You give me the money, I will consume. Come on. Give me a raise at work, I will help the economy. Amen. Give me a bonus, I will help the economy. Amen. I honestly will help the economy. I know how to spend money. How about you? Amen. I know how to do that. If the president gives me money, I will spend it. Oh, if that, I'll do my patriotic duty to boost the economy. Can you, won't you, Dale? My wife will go to the mall. She will go to JCPenney. I guarantee it. Amen. If we give her the money, and I will too. She buys me things there. Amen. But listen to me. This little shot in the arm, you know what it is? It's a desperate attempt to temporarily offset something ominous that is coming to this nation. Amen. Listen to me. I want you to understand it's a warning. It's a precursor of something that is coming to this nation. If we don't, as the church in America, I prophesy this with the anointing of God upon me. If we don't begin to seek God for who He is and seek the things above and not the things beneath. Come on. Come on. Our heart song needs to be to know Him and to show Him to others. Can you say amen? If we don't do that, we are going to experience an economic judgment in America because we bowed to the calf of gold when we should have been bowing to the God that brought us out of the land of bondage. Can you say amen? And I don't care who you're sending money to. And I don't care what they promise you. Amen. The Bible is very clear. You can't serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon. What's your heart song? What's your heart song? Our heart song should be to know Him and to show Him to others. Can you say amen? Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But he that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, saith the Lord." That's something to crow about. Hallelujah. "That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Some have thought that God is so infinite and mysterious that He's incomprehensible. But Adam knew Him. And they had fellowship with one another before the fall separated them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God can be known. He wants to be known. He sent Christ to make Himself known, not just to save us, to bring us back to Himself, to reestablish that broken relationship. That's why the veil was rent. Jeremiah 31, here's that covenant. "Behold, the days come that Jesus fulfilled." He said, this is the new covenant. They thought of this scripture when He said that. They didn't have a New Testament yet. They thought of this ancient prophecy. This is where their minds as Orthodox Jews went when He said, this is the new covenant. Because this is the promised one. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel." Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. "And for the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts." And that's the change of the nature. That's the new creation. "And I will be their God, and they will be my people." Can you say amen? "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I'll forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more, but they will all know me." No one's going to be saying, know the Lord, because they're going to all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. God said, the veil's going to be rent. I'm going to send my Son and show my glory to man in a way he can understand and perceive it. They're all going to know me, from the least of them. That's why the Bible said the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. He was the last of the Old Testament line of prophets. And the least in the kingdom has a knowledge of God that lifts us higher in His presence than John the Baptist. And there was never, in God's sight, there was never greater born of woman, according to Christ, than John. But you and I, as New Testament believers, the Bible said, have a greater privilege and standing than He did. Whew, the least. Some of you came in this morning feeling like the snake, as low as a snake in a wagon rut. Can you say, man, I know I'm in the body of Christ, as Pat Boone's son-in-law said when he first, you know, came to the Lord. He said, I know I'm a member of the body of Christ, but I'm the armpit of the body of Christ. But God kept working on him. And God will keep working on us if our heart song is to know Him. Can you say amen? Oh, this is incredible. This is beautiful. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to the last part of this. There's so much more here to study. C.H. Spurgeon did say this, "No subject of contemplation will tend more to humble the mind than thoughts of God. But while the subject humbles the mind, it also expands it. Nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man as devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of the deity. So go, plunge yourself in the Godhead's deepest sea. Be lost in His immensity, and you shall come forth from a couch of rest, refreshed and invigorated." Can you say, man, God is too big for us to worry? Woo! That's something you're going to discover. God is too big for me to worry. Too vast. He's too in control. He's too mighty. Hallelujah. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Our first great passion should be to know Him. The second is to make Him known. That's when we become effective in our witness and the church becomes effective in evangelism. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know what that word praises is? It's not just when the choir gets happy on Sunday morning. And that's going to draw people to Christ. They're going to see our exuberance and our zeal. The Greek word for praises is ar-et-e, which means virtues or moral excellencies. It's the character and the nature of God that is seen through the Christian life that begins to cause the world to take another look. Can you say amen? The Amplified said, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness." To display the virtues of Him that called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. It's no more I that live, Paul said. I'm displaying the virtues of Him that called me out of darkness now. It's no more I that live, but Christ that lives in me. God made us who we are so we could show the world who He is. Say it with me in light of that scripture. God made us this kingdom of priests, this royal priesthood, this special people, that we might show the world who He is. When we really become who we are, the sons of God, we can show the world who He is, the Son of God. Can you say amen? Wow. Before we can share Christ with the world effectively, we must show Christ to them. The world doesn't need another definition of Christianity. Another theological exposition, they need a demonstration. I like what this preacher's true story recently happened to him. He said, "I was walking down the street in Philadelphia, and a bum came toward me. I mean a dirty, filthy guy. He was covered with soot from head to toe. You couldn't believe how messed up he was. He had this huge beard, and there was a food stuck in his beard. As he approached me, he held out a cup of McDonald's coffee and said, 'Hey, mister, want some of my coffee?' I looked at his dirty, filthy personhood and said, 'Thanks, but that's okay.' And I walked by him. The minute I passed him, I knew I was doing the wrong thing, so I turned around and said, 'Excuse me, I would like some of your coffee.' And I took some of the coffee and sipped it and gave it back to him. And I said, 'You're being awfully generous. How come you're being so generous today?' And this bum looked at me and he said, 'Because the coffee is especially delicious today. And I think when God gives you something good, you ought to share it with somebody else.'" Has God given us something good? We ought to show Him to the world. Is our God good? We ought to show Him to the world. Get to know Him so that you can show Him, praise God. As we behold as in a glass. See, this pursuit takes you to the Word. The Word reveals a person. And as we behold as reflected in a glass in the Word of God, His face, His true person. Can you say amen? We are changed into His image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. If we know Him, we can show Him to the world. Come to church. Get in the Word. Hallelujah. I said, if we know Him, we can show Him. Everybody say, if I know Him, I can show Him. We can go to show and tell and take God. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. We can bring God to show and tell. I want you to know me and I want you to show me. I told you to go into all the world, saith the Lord. And I will send you. I will send you. I will send you. And you shall reap. And you shall reap. And you shall reap. If you go. Listen carefully.